Hi, this is Chaim Goldman, host of The Peak, and this is a bonus interview with the lead pastors of Radiant Church, Todd and Kelly Hudnall. Just finished the broadcast with them, and as I like to do with our interview guests, say, hey, the broadcast is over. You know, what didn't you say, or what's on your heart, or what would you really like to talk about? So what would you like to talk about?
Well, one of the things we talked about on the broadcast was the desperate state our nation and really our world is in right now and how the church needs to respond. And for our church, we have called this coming year, 2024, a year of uncommon prayer.
Every year as we end or close out one year and we move into a new year, starting in the fall, we always have a fast. We go through a time where we call the church to fast and pray and really seek the Lord's heart together. And Todd and I always really seek the Lord for the next year and what God wants our emphasis to be for the next year. And going into 2024, the Lord spoke to both of us as we really spent time seeking his heart. And what he spoke to us is that 2024 must be a year set aside for uncommon prayer. And, you know, we're people of prayer already. I mean, prayer is huge. It's not just something we treat as casual and we do it because you're supposed to as Christians. It is absolutely essential. But the Lord showed us how important it was when Jesus was facing the cross and he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and three times he called upon his disciples, at least three times where we know it's recorded in Scripture, that he asked his disciples to enter into a place of uncommon prayer with him in the Garden of Gethsemane because of the extreme situation that he was about to encounter and that they were about to encounter as well as the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost and all that they went through. And three times he went to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And the Lord brought us back to that. And really our hearts were broken because we really believe God is calling his bride again to another time of uncommon prayer, similar to when he was calling the disciples then. Not the same. I'm not saying it's the same, but he's calling on his church now. Are you willing to do what is uncommon, to go into places of uncommon, travailing prayer and intercession for your nation, and combining this with Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 4:14, when Nehemiah called the people to fight for your wives, fight for your children, fight for your brethren, fight for your houses, fight for your nation. And we believe God is saying it has to begin on our knees in prayer, in uncommon times of prayer and fasting and intercession. And that's why we believe it's so important that we do cross over denominational lines and barriers, and we come together as the body of Christ to pray together in one accord.
And we feel like the reason a lot of times people don't take prayer seriously is because they seriously don't think it's going to make a difference. That they think God's sovereign, so he'll do what he wants to do. But throughout Scripture, God keeps saying, ask of me. You know, in Psalm 2, it talks about the nations in an uproar and how they're defying God, which we're seeing at this point. And the response of the divine prerogative is, ask me, ask me, ask me, and I'll give you the nations. You know, that's what he's saying to the Messiah. But we are his representatives. We're his people, and we're to ask him. And I think if you look through history, history has been turned by prayer warriors. We can shape history. You know, some people read history, others write history. We can shape history through our prayers. There's a man named Rees Howells. His book is, there's a biography on his life that's extraordinary. And he talks about all these things that happened, not only in his life, but then if you follow his son's life, that prayer changed the trajectory of some things that happened in World War II, like the Battle at Dunkirk and other battles that occurred. They trace what happened in the founding of Israel to prayers that they were praying at the time. And what happened in World War II again and again, it was through prayer. And I think we see that in the Revolutionary War, how George Washington talked about prayer during that time and prayer and fasting that turned the tide, and these miraculous things happened because of their prayer. Or the Civil War. Suddenly, the Civil War changed for the Union after Lincoln called for a time of prayer and fasting. It makes a difference. It can shape and change history.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him." Acknowledge Him as God, and He will direct your steps. And it's so uncommon for us in this hour. We think it's either all about prayer and fasting and intercession, or it's all about legislation and getting involved in politics. And we believe it's both. It's those two streams mm-hmm. coming together. And it requires yeah. God's people to come together in radical humility and in unity and one accord, as they were in one accord on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was birthed, that we are in another time right now where we must come together in a greater way in prayer and fasting and taking a stand.
Well, when you're in prayer and in corporate prayer and personal prayer, what do you find that the Spirit is having you pray for? What are some common things that God is wanting to pray through His people that you're finding?
Well, one thing is we believe prophetic decrees are so important mm-hmm. in this hour. I had a prophetic dream in 2020. I believe it was October of 2020. And it's the only time in my life up to that point that I had had an encounter with an angel. And an angel visited me in the dream and pointed me to these two beautiful streams that were flowing together simultaneously and side by side. And Chaim, what was so amazing about these streams is they were defying gravity, because the water was crystal clear and sparkling white, bubbly water. And it was almost like it was effervescent. It was alive. But it was defying gravity, and instead of flowing downstream, it was moving upstream. And I heard the angel behind me say that this move of God will be carried on prophetic streams. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? And he immediately, Job comes to my remembrance, where it says, "You shall decree a thing and it will be established." And what the angel showed me next was gatherings of God's people in humility and in unity and one accord. There was no competition. There was no backbiting or striving against each other. It was just humility and love and unity. And the people of God had come together to offer up our shouts of praise, because praise is huge. Praise-filled warriors is a huge key in this battle where we are in, much like we saw in 2 Chronicles 20. But the people of God came together to lift up the high praises of God and to make prophetic decrees over our nation, which was, we were not decreeing what we saw with our eyes, what we heard with our ears. We were not decreeing the horrible, awful, hopeless state of things. We were decreeing what the word of the Lord says. We were decreeing 2 Chronicles 7:14. We were decreeing the names of God over our nation, over our situation. We were decreeing the scripture together in unity and in one accord. And then the angel spoke to me and said, if that stops, the move of God stops. If the prayers and the praises of and the prophetic decrees of God's people in unity and one accord, if it stops, the move of God will stop. But if we can come together in unity and in humility and one accord, I believe we'll see another great awakening. It's up to us.
And really, that's the battle we're in. It's ultimately a spiritual battle. You know, like Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against personalities, but against principalities. And then it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And the purpose of the whole armor of God is to pray with all manner of prayer. And I think one of the ways to pray that I think has been neglected in the church or not understood, we find in Romans 8:26, when it says we don't know how to pray always as we ought, but we're to pray with groanings. And if you look at the great intercessors over time, they would travail, they would cry out, they would be in anguish, they said, in their prayers until they saw a breakthrough. And that's a level of prayer I don't think a lot of people understand.
It's uncommon.
But it's essential, I think, to see what we want to see break in the realm of the Spirit.
Excellent. Well, thank you. You've been listening to Lead Pastors of Radiant Church here in the Springs, also Woodland Park. Todd and Kelly Hudnall. Todd and Kelly, thanks so much for being here and giving us really your heart. That was Pat. You got preaching here. We didn't do that on the air. So glad you joined us for this extra segment. I'm Chaim Goldman, the watchman for the Peak.